Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patrick Creighton in for Fred and A.J. on the Blitz. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN on the HRMP listener line, on the text line. On Twitter at PCreighton1, Aaron Raybould on the side of the glass, the master controls. At Aaron is Blitz, at ESPN97.5. Of course, you can get the Blitz on Facebook, just like their Facebook page, the Blitz975. You can stream us, ESPN975 radio app or ESPN975.com. Get the podcast, podcastarena.com, and on iTunes. On the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And we actually got to see real football today. Now, it's the first day of OTAs being available to the media. And realistically, OTAs, well, it's not like they're really doing more than, say, like a pro day. There's no actual defending going on or real contact going on. Quarterback is throwing to a receiver who is not being covered. There's not even any defenders on the field. It's like a pro day. But it also means we get to talk to people. And Tyrod Taylor had a chance to talk to the media today. So Tyrod had these thoughts about getting the chance to be the starting quarterback for your Houston Texans.
Yes, of course, as far as the pressure thing or the pressure question, I don't think anyone will put more pressure on myself than me. I have high expectations for myself. I hold myself to a certain standard. So coming out each and every day and performing at a high level is where the standard is. And, of course, yes, Deshaun played at a very high level and has played at a very high level throughout his career. I've been a fan of his, and I know him personally. But the opportunity to be able to start here is something that I look forward to, and looking forward, like I said, just going out and competing with the guys that we have in our locker room, the great talent, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Jordan Akins, David Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram, all guys that I've admired from afar, being able to be in the locker room with those guys and to go battle with those guys on Sundays is something that I'm looking forward to.
Now, tell me Tyrod doesn't sound like he's in the club with all that name dropping. Man, I know Joey Bag of Donuts, and I know Tommy Sandwich, and I know Billy Guns, and I know Tony Shoes. Like, walking into the club, got to give out all my creds. And here he is dropping all these names, and it sounds weird. Like, you're starting quarterback, even though you're not really a starting quarterback. You're starting quarterback, and you're just out here name dropping. It sounds weird. It's strange to me. It's strange to me to hear grown men name drop like that. You know, unless somebody's got a gun to your head and you're trying to tell the guy with the gun to your head, you know, that, hey, I'm connected too. Like, just make this phone call for me. You'll know not to shoot me. You know, if you're not trying to save your ass at your mob connection, chances are name dropping is, well, it sounds weird. But he's also made it clear he's the starting quarterback. This is not a competition. This is not an open competition. He's not likely the starting quarterback or probably the starting. He is the guy. That's why they paid him as much as they did. He knows this. You know this. I know this. But he's also playing quarterback for a team that turned over, what, at least 50% of its roster. And how many free agents did they sign to one-year deals? Well, Tyrod Taylor had this to say about leading a team full of guys essentially on one-year deals.
Yeah, when I signed, we all came in. I want to say it was about 20 of us. We were at the hotel, and some guys I've known, some guys I played with. I think the exciting thing about it is that guys want a fresh start. Guys want to be able to come in, compete. Guys want to be able to show what they can do, myself included. And ultimately, You want to win games. And we know that, of course, the guys in the room that day, along with the remaining guys that are on the roster that have been here for previous years, we want to come together and do whatever it takes to help win games and have fun on the football field. And I think that's the motivating factor each and every day. Of course, winning games. Knowing that guys come from different places and have an opportunity for a fresh start is exciting for us to come out and compete each and every day.
So if you want to know one of the reasons why they decided to make Tyrod Taylor their backup plan in case things with Deshaun went sideways, and boy, have they gone sideways, you're getting a glimpse of it here. Tyrod always gives the team-appropriate answer. He doesn't duck the question, but he's only going to give you the rosiest of rosies. He's not going to say anything negative, slam anybody, say anything that might even be perceived as the smallest slight. Tyrod is always positive, always moving forward. And that's one of the things they like about him as a leader. He's always going to, they know they can trust him. And for a team who's, look, they're rebuilding. And realistically, this year, it's not even a rebuilding year. This is a pain year because they didn't have draft picks and they didn't really have new money. So this is a pain year. As far as development, well, what are they going to do? Maybe they'll actually let Jonathan Greenard play. Maybe they'll develop this, you know, tight end they took in the fourth round. Maybe Davis Mills will get to play later on during the season when they're clearly out of it, like by the midpoint of the season. But David Culley even, you know, said about Tyrod Taylor, his leadership in the league and his experience is invaluable. He's such a great character guy. He said he's the kind of guy they want to build the organization around. High character guys. Now, he's not good enough to be a winning quarterback in the league, and he's certainly not good enough to overcome all the roster deficiencies on this team. And quite honestly, I don't think a quarterback has ever been born that could overcome all the roster deficiencies on this team. But if you know you're going to be a bad team, you want to have good locker room guys to hold it together so it doesn't just completely turn into an off-the-rails train wreck later on in the season. You don't want guys sniping at each other and going to the media and sniping at the team. While in the media, we want that because it's juicy. We get to talk about it. We get to have fun with it. But if you're a team, you want to keep all that buttoned down. And when you have guys like Tyrod Taylor, and we talked about Brandon Cook so a week or so ago, was another example of a guy who, no matter what, everything is great. This guy's great. Love this guy. This guy's so good. Can't believe how good this guy is. Like, he could be the worst player in the league, and Brandon Cooks is telling you he's an all-pro. Because that's the kind of guys that they want on the team. Guys who are always going to say the right thing, never put them in a bad position to the media. And on a year where, look, they're going to stink, having those guys, that's probably one of the things that they're getting right, is they've actually picked up high, you know, high character guys. Tyrod Taylor is certainly that. And as long as the medical staff doesn't puncture his lung with a needle, chances are he'll at least stay healthy for the first half of the season behind a suspect offensive line that gave up 50 sacks in a year where offensive holding was basically legal. Here's some more from Tyrod Taylor today at OTAs.
And that's why I'm excited the way that I am. I mean, what they say, the average NFL career is 3 years. And if you probably go back and look at my draft card,
no one probably would have predicted that it would be still, well, I would be one of the four quarterbacks that was drafted that year that are still in this league. And like I said, I'm excited about the opportunity. I know what I can do. I know what I've done in this league. And I know the players respect it and know what I can do. But each and every day, it's my job and it's my duty to be able to show them and to show the coaches. And when we get a chance to start playing, it's for the teams to show them as well.
You see Tyrod dropping the card there? Hey, I'm one of the four quarterbacks from my 2011 draft class that's still in the league. More than we can say for you, Jake Locker. Or you, Christian Ponder. Or is it Christian Steele? Christian Ponder, out of the league. Colin Kaepernick, blackballed out of the league, but still out of the league. Who else got taken in that draft as quarterbacks? There was a few guys. Let's see. Hey, Andy Dalton, he's still around. Cam Newton's still around. Ryan Mallett was in that draft. He overslept. Ricky Stanzi. Is T.J. Yates still in the league? He's out of the league. I mean, he was a backup for a long time, but he's out of the league. Nathan Enderle. I don't even know that dude. And he was taken before Tyrod Taylor. In fact, Tyrod was the second-to-last quarterback taken in the 2011 draft. The only guy who went after him was Greg McElroy to the Jets in the seventh round. But he said, one of four quarterbacks. So Tyrod Taylor, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton. Care to take a guess at who the other quarterback from 2011 is that's still in the league? Care to venture? Because when I tell you who it is, you're going to look back at this and be surprised. It's Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert is the other quarterback from 2011's draft that's still in the league. You know, Newton was an all-pro and went to Super Bowl. Andy's been a pro bowler. Hell, Tyrod Taylor technically has been a pro bowler that one time at band camp. But Tyrod talking to the media today, and if you're a fan of the Texans, he didn't tell you anything new. Like there's no juicy quote. There's no wow. But he did his job. He gave you the basics. He propped up his teammates. Everything is good. Most fans, they really just want to hear things are good and nobody blew a knee or blew an Achilles or some major devastating injury, right? That's the most important thing to take out of OTAs. That and, who showed up and who didn't. Well, we'll hear from Texans head coach David Culley next.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Creighton in for Fred AJ on the Blitz. And you know what? It's time to give away some stuff. You know, Father's Day is coming. And Dad gets roses. Four Roses Bourbon Whiskey. And to help celebrate Father's Day, ESPN 97.5 and the Blitz, well, they're having a Father's Day tasting event hosted by Fred and AJ featuring Four Roses Bourbon Whiskey. The event will be right here in the ESPN 97.5 lobby on Wednesday, June 16th from 7 to 9 p.m., so right in the middle of late hits. Right now, your chance to win a spot for you and a guest. Caller number 4, 713-780-3776. Caller 4, 713-780-3776. Gets two tickets to the Four Roses Bourbon Whiskey Tasting event Wednesday, June 16th, right here, 7 to 9 o'clock. So you'll get to hang out with Fred and AJ, drink some bourbon whiskey. I don't know if there will be scotch and beer, but there will be bourbon whiskey. 7 to 9, right during late hits. Now, my favorite part of this copy is that it says they're going to be having a Father's Day tasing event. And I was like, man, that'll be so cool. People are getting drunk and tased. That I'm signing up for. I want to see people drunk getting tased. That would be freaking badass. Who gets drunk, gets tased, and then yaks on themselves?
We'll let them come in here and tase you.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that because I won't be drunk.
We've had enough trouble with pepper sprays and tasers. Yeah, we're done.
Have we had tasers before?
AJ got tased. Oh, God, how long ago? Years and years. Probably a decade ago now.
He got tased before I was here, obviously.
Well, yeah.
And yes, I remember the pepper spray thing. I didn't work for ESPN back then, but I believe I was in Houston when that happened. Man, the abuse that... I'm very glad that you are not abused as a previous producer once upon a time was here.
Oh, it was floated for a while, but now that the show is coming to, AJ's part of the show is coming to an end, I think I might get out of that window.
Oh, you think you're going to
I mean, I had to do freaking mega shots and shotgun Four Locos and crap.
I don't think you minded that much, though. It's alcohol.
Four Locos, disgusting.
I've never had one. The fact that Johnny Manziel used to drink them told me right away I probably don't want to drink this crap.
He used to drink them when I drank them in college when they were like three times the amount of caffeine and like a 12-ounce can of Coke and alcohol. So it was mixed. So it was getting you high, or it was getting you wired and drunk at the same time. And it tasted like ass. It tastes better now, but it still tastes like ass.
Well, I've never tasted ass before. But I could certainly go for the triple the caffeine. I'm always down for more caffeine. I'm assuming that they don't have the massive caffeine in them anymore because you said they used to.
No, they had to take them off the market and rework the recipe at one point.
Because
from my memory.
Too
my
much memory caffeine serves.
Or? Too many people doing stupid things with them. But yeah, in college, that was the thing. You could buy 2 4 Locos for like $6. And it was enough alcohol to ruin your night and your next day. Plus, you also had all that caffeine. And it would make your heart race while you're drunk off your ass. So
it was a high alcohol content in there?
Yeah, they're 14%, I think.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is a high alcohol content. Now, sometimes when David Culley talks to the media, we feel like he's been drinking things with high alcohol content as he dodged the dodge, duck, dip, dive, and... dodge. Well, today David Culley talked to the media and he was asked about the defensive line and he pulled out one of the oldest coach speaks in the book that you could possibly have. Of course, we know he's full of it, but here's David Culley when asked about the defensive line.
I think they're all progressing at this time the way we want them to progress. And that's why I move around, and that's why I go. I also go around, too, to learn a little bit more about I've been on one side the whole time. Now I kind of get to see exactly. Now I know exactly why they're doing what they're on defense. As offensive coaches, a lot of times we always thought we had all the answers. And basically, you realize when you go to the defensive side of the ball, the answer we thought was really wrong. And now that I've been on the other side over there, I get it now. I would have been a better offensive coach had I known exactly what was going on that other side right now.
You know, I am convinced at this point, David Culley really should not be the head coach of the Texans based on his voice alone. What he should be is like the offensive coordinator, assistant head coach for Ed Orgeron. This way we can have like two guys with really distinct accents talking like at the same time. That would be great. But the, well, you know, we don't have starters. Everybody, stop it. Every team has ones. Now, granted, they're subject to change, but every team has ones. The old, oh, all 53 jobs are open. No, they're not. And every time you say stuff like that, all you're really doing is telling us, well, I know this is the question you asked, but screw you, I'm not answering. Because I don't care what you think. And I'll give you the answer that I feel like giving you. So I'll give you a coach speak answer. I'll give you a non-answer. I'll give you a dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge answer. But I'm not going to tell you what's going on because, well, it's a competitive disadvantage that somebody might know who our ones are in freaking June.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
Culley was also asked if some of the position groups might be ahead of some of the other position groups here on June 3rd in OTAs.
Collins, how do you feel like the defensive line's coming together?
Well, the experience that you just mentioned there with the guys that have come from other places mixed in with the guys that we have here. And again, I'm going to go back to what we said we wanted to create when we first came here. And with our draft picks is competition. And Aaron, what happens is competition makes people better. And good players want to be better. And the quickest way and the best way to get that is with competition. And we've created that here, not only at that position, but at all positions. Because this time of year, it's not really about evaluation so much as it is about learning the system, learning about what our culture is, establishing what our culture is. And you know, quite frankly, we don't have what we call starters. Everybody works with everybody here. You know, everybody works with every group. And that's how you create that. So there's no feeling that this is his job or that's his job. The feeling is it's everybody's job. Whoever the best person is for that particular position, that's going to be their job. And in the fall, when we start training camp, that'll all come together.
Oh, sorry. He was putting me to sleep. All his coach speak and non-answer. There was one thing in there that he did say that's actually true, though. And that is, at this time of year, it's really about learning what your schemes are. New coach, there are going to be some new schemes, both offensively and defensively. And the classroom time, the textbook time, the iPad time. I guess iPads have officially replaced textbooks at this point. That is probably the most important thing that guys are going to get out of OTAs is they got to learn the plays, they got to learn the new verbiage and the terminology. They got to learn whatever their new positioning is. That stuff, the earlier you can get started on that, the better. But all the rest of that is just typical David Culley coach speak, non-answer, fluff, nonsense. This is just who he's shown himself to be. So far, this is just what David Culley is. He doesn't answer questions. When you ask him something, he just throws some nonsense at you, gives you some coach speak, tells you a story. This is just who he's shown himself to be. Now, does that change during the season? Probably not. I think he'll give us answers to things that we kind of already know, so he won't really be giving us new information. He'll just confirm what's already known. It's pretty clear he gets told what he can say and what he can't. It's almost like he's afraid to answer questions because he hasn't gotten permission from Nick Caserio on what he can and can't say. But there's no reason why you can't just answer simple questions of, you know, and look, honestly, the question of are some position groups ahead of others on June 3rd, it's kind of a reach. Like, how can you say, oh, a position group is ahead on June 3rd? when not the whole team isn't even there yet. It's the first day of OTAs where the media has access. They haven't exactly done a whole lot. They're wearing hats, and that's it. There's no pads. They're just wearing hats. How much do you think they're doing? Like I said, it's a glorified pro day. And it, basically, it's because it's NFL football, everybody gets super excited. Oh, man, we got OTAs, football. They're not doing squat. We're just so thirsty for football. And I don't even know why we're thirsty for football in this city, because we know they're going to suck. So, as long as they're going to suck, you think there might be some guys getting traded? They signed a zillion free agents. Might there be some guys who aren't necessarily going to be here? Oh, we'll check into that next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Patch Creighton in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. I'm going to tell you about my good friend Dr. Ben Salento, Texas Sinus and Snoring. You know, for over 20 years, man, I had horrible sinus issues. I'd get a sinus infection every 2 to 3 months. I'd have a sinus drip when I slept. It would just, the pressure would just shift from one side of my head to the other. I wouldn't be able to breathe. You wake up, you roll over. An hour later, a whole thing process starts over again. It led to me having really bad snoring issues. You know, your airways are blocked up, can't breathe well. Ultimately, I developed sleep apnea. And I would call up the doctor to say, hey, I got another sinus infection. They'd just shoot me a Z-Pak to the pharmacy, and I'd go pick it up. None of them ever took the time to figure out, well, why do these things keep happening? Until I met Dr. Ben. Not quite 2 years ago, met Dr. Ben, made an appointment to go see him, have a consultation. He's got a state-of-the-art facility up in North Houston. And told him about all the different issues that I had. And the first thing he wanted to know is, well, why do you have these issues? No doctor ever asked me this before. Went down the hall, did a CT scan. 5 minutes later, he's got the results up on the board, and he's explained to me what's going on. And we put a plan of action together. And a month later, I had a procedure done to remove staph infection from my sinuses. They did a balloon sinuplasty that fixed all the damaged tissue in my sinuses, opened up my airwaves. And they did a septoplasty that fixed my deviated septum, and I didn't even know I had a deviated septum. But from the day I had the procedure, I could tell right away I could breathe 100 times better. And in the nearly 2 years since I've had that procedure, I haven't had a single sinus infection. That's a record for me. I no longer have that sinus drip. I sleep through the night. No more snoring because my airways are all open. No more sleep apnea because I breathe well at night. It's life-changing. You go to bed, you wake up in the morning, and you feel good. For over 20 years, I went to bed, I woke up in the morning, I felt worse than when I went to bed. It really does change your life when you can get a good night's sleep, wake up, and be ready to go, feel good in the morning. If you deal with sinus issues, if you deal with snoring issues, if you have sleep apnea, if you'd love to get rid of that big, bulky CPAP machine and be rid of it forever, you need to take down this number. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. or go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Schedule your consultation with Dr. Ben Salento at Texas Sinus and Snoring. Let him fix your life the way he fixed mine. I mean, it's gonna be a massive change. 346-413-9313, TexasSinusAndSnoring.com. Tell him I sent you by. Dr. Ben has actually performed procedures. He did it for me. He's done it for at least a half a dozen blitz late hitters. He's done it for other sponsors of mine. And everybody can't say enough about how much of a great change it's been. So if you deal with those issues, man, go see Dr. Ben. So when you're a bad team, you know, last year we lamented the fact that, well, they weren't going anywhere, the Texans. And, well, why didn't they make any moves at the deadline? They could have got some extra draft picks. They just sat on their hands. And in reality, the reason they sat on their hands is because they were afraid to make a move. They got absolutely slaughtered, and rightfully so, by the entire known universe for that disaster of a DeAndre Hopkins trade. They were absolutely terrified of making another deal and getting rooked and then getting dragged for it. They didn't have confidence in Jack Easterby to make a deal. They didn't have confidence in Romeo Crennel to make a deal. And let's be fair, Romeo did this team a major disservice last year. The Texans had no chance of being in the playoffs whatsoever, and he refused to play young players. He refused to give them reps. How are you? If you're out of it and you're not developing your young talent, well, what the hell are you doing? And he was adamant, nope, not going to play him. We're only going to play the guys that we think can help us win. Well, those guys weren't on your roster. Romeo did not help this team last year. So they didn't make any trades. And, you know, they could have traded J.J. Watt and maybe gotten a second-round pick. Instead, they wound up releasing him and they got nothing. They could have traded Will Fuller and gotten a second-round pick. Instead, well, he got, after the deadline, he got busted for PEDs and he left via free agency and they got nothing. So this year, we get to the trade deadline, or maybe even before that, are the Texans going to be willing to make deals? Because, look, Deshaun's not getting traded. He's got all those lawsuits he's got to deal with. Let's just take Deshaun out of the picture here for a moment. We'll do more on Deshaun shortly. Let's just take Deshaun out of the picture here for a minute. Who do the Texans have that other teams might actually want? Because it's not a big list. But, boy, do they need draft picks. Number one guy, Brandon Cooks. Right? Every time we get to the trade deadline, there's always a handful of contenders that need a receiver. And that's why we're, you know, Will Fuller, people were kicking the tires on Will Fuller. And the Packers were kicking the tires on Will Fuller. Wouldn't that have been great? Trade him to the Packers, you get a draft pick, then he gets busted, he doesn't actually play for them. That would have been a win. Yeah, that didn't happen, though. You know, Brandon Cook's cap hit for a team acquiring him would be like $5.5 million this year because the Texans converted some of his base salary into signing bonus in the offseason. So, new team, he only has a cap hit next year of $13.8 million, and it's non-guaranteed, which means they can give him a new contract, guarantee it, less dollars, and everything works great. There is the idea that, well, you know, since they did this, you know, conversion of salary to bonus, that they're going to want to get super value for Cooks. Well, what's super value for Cooks? realistically, if you can get a second round pick for Brandon Cooks at the deadline, punch that ticket. Punch that ticket. Your second round pick. And it's, look, it's very plausible they could get a second round pick if Cooks is having a nice season. It might be hard for him to have a nice season with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback. But at the same time, they should be behind a lot, which means a lot of passing. Maybe he'll get a lot of, you know, garbage time stats. Who cares how he gets them? Just get them. Everything with the Texans when it comes to stats this year is basically like fantasy football. They're not going to win, so it's all right. Well, how much garbage time stats can you roll up? If you're down 20 at the half, we're going to chuck it 40 times in the second half. Everybody's catching passes. Yeah, I don't know if Randall Cobb can stay healthy. Maybe he can. If he could stay healthy, can you get a late round pick for Randall Cobb? Somebody that, you know, desperately needs a receiver at the deadline and will give you a 5 or a 6. Hell, if they'll give you anything, take a 7th round pick just to be rid of that salary. You know, is Jordan Akins a guy that might get traded? He's on the last year of his rookie deal, but he's also 29. You know, remember he played minor league baseball before he got into football. And they just drafted Brevin Jordan in the 5th round, a guy that the Texans think has a very similar skill set to what Jordan Akins brings to the table. If Akins has a good start to the season, do they find somebody to give them a day 3 pick for Jordan Akins to be their new backup tight end? Well, maybe. Now we've got the question about Deshaun. There's a lot of questions about Deshaun. But I think this one, for right now, this one might be the most interesting. Next.
Clock and grab your jocks.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
That's right in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. And before we get into all our stuff with Deshaun Watson and this interesting question to ask, first, we're going to get into AJ singing because it's time for the gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Paddock Jeweler gem of the day.
Isn't it cool how AJ can sing the jingle and he's not even here? That takes some high-quality talent to be able to do that. Here is your gem of the day, something nobody saw coming. The USFL is back. Now, I don't even know how many of you were old enough to watch the USFL back in the day because I was 10 when the USFL started playing. And, you know, there were blooper reels, man, USFL blooper reels were awesome because they were so hideously bad. It was great. And it was a league that was never supposed to really compete with the NFL. It was supposed to be, you know, an alternative for the spring. But you had some rich owners who forked out money, and they had Reggie White and Herschel Walker. They had Steve Young and Jim Kelly. They had some really good players. Yeah, the Houston Gamblers. And, you know, the league did all right. People watched it. I mean, it was a little goofy. It was a little hokey, but they did it. And, you know, they had that red, white, and blue stars and stripes type USFL logo, and they had the different colored football. But apparently the USFL is back. 4 decades after they fell apart, after their famous antitrust case where they won a total of $3 because then New Jersey Generals owner Donald Trump wanted to challenge the NFL and play in the fall. That didn't work out so well, did it? They never actually played in the fall. Here they are back, and guess who has a minority equity stake in the company that owns this new USFL? Fox Sports. So the USFL and Fox Sports bringing you USFL football for 2022. They've apparently maintained the rights to the names of the old teams. They're looking to have 8 teams playing in the spring of 2022. They're also apparently going to go head-to-head with the XFL that also intends on returning spring of 2022. The XFL owned by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, his ex-wife, and Redbird Capital Partners. Remember, they were the only bid on the XFL, so hopefully they got it for a really good price. And the XFL trying to work on some kind of collaboration with the Canadian Football League. So the USFL and the XFL will go head-to-head. I had not heard anything about the USFL actually relaunching, literally until today when they announced they were going to relaunch. All of a sudden, boom, USFL football. I don't know what it's going to look like, but who's against more football? That is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, so this is a really interesting question as it surrounds Deshaun Watson. We heard earlier from Tyrod Taylor, and I'm not doing the whole Tyrod Taylor thing because he was Tyrod Taylor his whole damn career until last year, and then all of a sudden he's Tyrod. You're Tyrod Taylor. And how he's the starter, and he's so excited for the opportunity, and he and all these other guys who have one-year contracts, they're out to go play really well and get multi-year contracts next year when the cap goes back up. And look, if we're going to be realistic, at some point Davis Mills is going to start, unless the Texans are really stupid. Plausible. But at some point Davis Mills is going to start. They got to get a look at him going into 2022, know whether or not he can take the reins for 2022 or if they need to get another veteran quarterback or hang on to Tyrod for another year or what it's going to be. Chances are they're not going to figure out their relationship with Deshaun. But here is the question. With all these 22 lawsuits hanging over Deshaun's head, his stated desire to be traded, the team's clear effort to not address anything when it comes to Deshaun. Right now, we're in voluntaries. Well, what happens when it's time to go to mandatories? And when we get to those, you know, mandatory minicamp is June 15th. 12 days. When we get to that, should the Texans and Deshaun Watson have a deal in place where he doesn't go to camp and they don't fine him? Because generally, if you just don't show up, you're getting fined. And under the new CBA, fines are not waivable. They can't forgive him anymore. But do they really want to risk the idea of Deshaun being at minicamp? And if you're Deshaun Watson and you haven't gotten traded and you also haven't been put on the commissioner's exempt list and you haven't been suspended, you're going to have some pretty high legal bills. Do you really want to be giving up money for free? If I were Deshaun, I'd show up. I'd show up and make them send me home. I'm not getting fined. And if Deshaun does show up, boy, what a circus that's going to be. Can you imagine Deshaun shows up and he starts holding court with the media? Him and David Mulugeta having like daily press conferences with a throng of media? You know, the Texans would rather like eat all the worms in the earth rather than have that go down. Maybe you make a deal. Deshaun, you stay home and we won't fine you. And as you get to August and all this stuff is still dragging on, you probably keep that agreement with them of don't show up. We won't fine you because we don't want you here making a big old mess. Although, honestly, I think if they make that type of deal for mandatory minicamp, when it comes time for training camp to be open and all those lawsuits are still open, there is a possibility the NFL bails them out and puts him on the exempt list. And if they actually make an agreement with him, I think the chances of him getting put on the exempt list actually go up. I think it's something worth watching. Very interesting. Coming up next, Paul Feinbaum dropped the hammer on Texas Longhorn football. We'll tell you about it next. I'm in my 20s, now getting restless.
Got some hemp now. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.